All right, let's go back to our starting point for this section. We're talking about the Godhead, and specifically, we've been talking about how the role that each three persons of the Godhead played or play in the world and in our in creation and in our salvation and so on and so forth. And I want us to go back to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 6, and then we will read our text verse and then proceed on. All right, Deuteronomy. It's on page 240. If you have the same Bible I do, it's on page 240. All right, we'll look, please, at verse 3, and then verse 4 is our text verse. All right, verse 3 says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey." And then verse 4, this is what the Jews still today refer to as the Shema, S-H-E-M-A, Shema. This is the Shema, all right? And what Shema means, it means to hear. And this is something that is quoted and repeated often over in Israel. All right, and here is the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." All right, now let me have you look at it again. Notice, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord," and that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. All right, and what that means is Jehovah. That is the tetragrammaton letters, four letters. Remember, Hebrew, especially ancient Hebrew, didn't have any vowels at all. You had to just know the language thoroughly, and you would know where to put the vowels. But the truth of the matter is, they did not include them. So all you have here are four consonants. All right, four consonants, and you have. You have the J, and then the H, and then the V, the Vod, and then you have the H again. So J, H, V, H. Now, to be honest with you, they don't know if it was Ju, Ha, Ve. They don't know if it was Jo, He, Va. They don't know, all right? But the one that kind of has a ring to it is Jehovah, and that's the one that stuck, all right? That's the name that stuck. But the Jews do not pronounce, or they do not use or pronounce or write the name God, capital G-O-D. They don't do that. They will leave the O off of it. So it'll be capital G, blank space with a line, just a line, and then D, because they honor and they feel that that God's names are holy and that they should be honored and respected. And so they did not write the consonant or the vowels out for the J, V, J, H, V, H. They did not write the vowels out for that. All right, so also remember that The Hebrew language is pictorial. In other words, everything about it, has a picture connected to it. So the picture with Jehovah is this. The J, which is Jah, which means God, all right? So God left his house, all right? J, all right? H, and then the Vod, if you have a chisel and you have a hammer, and that's how you wrote the language back in Old Testament times, all right? You took a chisel and you chiseled it, all right? This is why you do Hebrew from right to left, all right? Everybody follow me? This is why you read Hebrew and you write Hebrew from right to left, all right? So here's the stylus, if you will, and you hit it with a hammer and it gets a little mark on the end of it that looks like a V. And so that's the Vod sound. And so Jehovah, all right, left his home, his house, heaven, came to this earth to be crucified, and then went back to his home in heaven. So even the name Jehovah shows us God. Isn't that awesome? All right, that was free. Didn't cost you a dime, but it's neat, isn't it? But that's exactly what the four consonants mean in the name Jehovah. All right, so you've got the Lord, that's Jehovah, our God, Elohim, is one Jehovah. And that's the Shema. That is what we build our understanding of the fact that there is a Godhead. There is a Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the last time we met, which was 2 weeks ago, we didn't have church last Sunday night on Christmas, but we were looking at the basis of the doctrine of the Godhead. And we see so many times in the Bible where you have all three persons of the Godhead together at the same time. For example, at Christ's baptism, when John the Baptist baptized the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, of course, that Jesus was there. John recognized who he was. And John said, I should not be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. And so Jesus said, no, fulfill all righteousness here and you are to baptize me. So he did. And when he baptized the Lord Jesus and brought him up out of the water, then the Spirit came down as a dove upon the Lord Jesus. And then the Bible says that there was a voice that came out of heaven that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. All right, so there you have all three persons of the Godhead. And then we used a couple of other examples. And then ended up in Genesis 1:26, where the Holy Spirit, who inspired the Bible, says to us, let us make man in our image. That's amazing, isn't it? So what do you have there? Well, you have a conversation among the Godhead. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit together as one. And there is a conversation between them. And they say, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the earth. Now, that is the basis. That is the foundation. Now, let's notice some other illustrations of the Godhead. That's where I want to pick it up tonight. And notice some more earthly illustrations of the Godhead. All right, there are the Bible examples and illustrations that I gave you 2 weeks ago and that I just reviewed for you a moment ago. But now, secondly, I want us to notice some earthly illustrations of the Godhead. Now, we spent, it's been a while now, but we spent a whole spring and summer one time. I forget what year it was. I could go back and find it, of course, but I think that it was about 10, 12 years ago, something like that. And we studied numbers in the Bible. You remember that? And we learned about numbers. For example, we learned that 3 is the number of completion in the Bible. All right, so you got Father, Son, Spirit, and these 3 are complete. All right, they're one. They are one God. So 3 is a number of completion. We learned that 40 is the number of testing. It's amazing how many times all throughout Old Testament and New Testament that you see the number 40, and it has to do with testing. For example, the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years, all right, a time of testing. The Lord Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. And there is example after example of that number being the number of testing. All right, next, 7 is the number of perfection. Perfection in the Bible. And then the number 6 is the number of man. Exactly. And you'll remember that the Antichrist, his number is 666. And so I taught you that for everything that God has and is, Satan has a duplicate for it. He imitates it. All right? The devil can't do anything original. All right? He's an imitator at best. And so God is Father, Son, Spirit, and these 3 are one. Well, you get over into the book of the Revelation, and you've got the dragon, that's Satan, and then you've got the beast, that's the Antichrist, and then you have a second beast, which is the false prophet. And these 3 are one, an imitation of the Godhead. But for our purposes here this evening, 3 is the number of completion. So the Godhead, consisting of 3 persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, is right on target. I mean, it's just right on target. Hold your place here put your bulletin in there or something so you can get back to it. But go over to the New Testament for a moment, to the book of 1 John. 1 John. And look at chapter 5. 1 John and chapter 5. All right, let's look down, please, at verse 6. And verse 6 says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." All right, now just a little side note, all right? Chase another rabbit. The Spirit is truth. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said to Thomas? What did he say? He said, "I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life." All right, so the Spirit is truth, and Jesus is truth. Naturally, he would be, all right, because of the Godhead. He is the Spirit, and the Spirit is the Son. I mean, they're one. All right, verse 7, look at that. "For there are," how many? "Three that bear record in heaven." And here they are: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. All right, now notice that. These three are one. In other words, these three, the Father, Son, and Spirit, or the Father, Word, and Spirit, are complete. A preacher of the past said, listen carefully to this, "The three persons of the Godhead, yet one God, and yet these three are distinguished but not divided." Now let that register, all right? They are distinguished but not divided. All right, you understand that? Let it rattle around in there. It'll bounce free in just a second when you really get what he's saying. He said, "These three are distinguished, but are not divided." Man, that's deep. That's heavy. Not three gods, but one. Amen. One. One God. Three persons. All right, get ready. I'm going to blow your mind off again. You ready? Three persons, but one essence. All right? This is a preacher from the past, and he says, "This is a divine mystery that our natural minds could never have figured out. It is like the two distinct natures of Christ. Christ is God, yet Christ is man." Right? He's not half God and half man. No, he is 100% God. Amen. And he is 100% man. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. All right? There it is. "It is like the two distinct natures of Christ. Christ is God, yet man, yet he is one person. What a mighty mystery is that? And so is the Godhead. Equally a great mystery, a divine riddle, where one makes three and three makes one. Now think of this, folks. The Godhead is purely and completely accepted by faith. That's the only way you can grasp it. That's the only way you can grasp it, is by faith. That same preacher said this. He said, the plumb line of reason is too short to fathom this mystery. But where reason cannot even wade, faith can swim. Isn't that good? Where human reasoning cannot even wade in the water, faith can swim. There are some aspects of our faith that can be accepted and demonstrated by reason. But the Godhead, Father, Son, Spirit, and these three are one, is completely supernatural. It's supernatural, and therefore must be accepted and believed by faith. You see, folks, it's a mystery. And the Bible has many of those. It is a mystery, but the Bible spells it out and gives us examples, as we have seen last week or 2 weeks ago, and with what I gave you at the beginning of this lesson. But God also shows us in the world, examples of this truth in the world that he created for us. All right? So let me give you a couple of those. All right? You say, well, I just don't understand the Godhead. I just can't get it. Well, you can. All right? Listen to this one. Now, God did this. All right? God's the one that did this. But let's take something that all of us have to have in order to live. Water. Yeah, or if you're from Baltimore, water. All right? Water. Okay? Water. Water is revealed to us on the earth, and remember, made by who? By the Lord, yes. But water is revealed to us in three forms. For example, liquid, and then solid, ice, and then gas, vapor, steam. All right? And these three, no matter how you look at it, are one. And so, you know, we sit around and say, well, I just don't understand the Godhead. God says, I gave you an example of it with water. What are you missing here? You know? And if that's not enough, think about a little clover leaf, all right? The clover, the normal clover, has three distinct sections. Comes up the stem, and there's a little on that side, and one on this side, and one on that side. Now, every now and then, you can find a four-leaf clover. All right? But the majority of them are just three. And so they are all the same, and all three make up one clover leaf. All right, now, here's another one. Let's think about light. Do you remember who created light? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. All right, very good. God created light. So where does life come? Light come from? Well, we all know that it comes from the sun. We all know that. So we have the sun, and then we have light, and then we can go out and put our hand up and we can feel heat. Heat from the sun. So what do we have? We have three, yet one. It's all the same thing. All right? Think of an egg. God said, here, let me show you another example. And I tell you, folks, just about every time I crack open an egg, it crosses my mind. I'm standing there with the shell in my hand. And I'm looking down into the pan, and there's this clear, yucky stuff. All right? And then there's the part that clogs your arteries right in the middle. All right, so you got three parts to that egg. You've got the shell that you cannot say, well, this is not an egg. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You don't see the gooey white part or the artery clogger yolk, you don't see that. What you see is that shell. You crack it open, and there are the other two parts to an egg. But they're all still an egg. One egg. One egg. Now, every now and then, you crack it open, and you get two yolks. But that's a little rare, not too rare, but a little rare. All right, so one more example. And I'll use me for this one. I am only one person, but I can be revealed as three persons. My dad sitting back there. My dad sees me differently from everybody else in this room. And I respond to him in a way that is different than to any other person on the planet. All right? My dad sees me as son, S-O-N. Then, also sitting back there is my wife. And my wife sees me as her husband. And then all the rest of you see me as pastor. But I'm One person. The same. Just one person. But I'm represented in these three different ways. So folks, I'm simply saying that these little earthly things can throw some light onto a difficult and a complex doctrine that we must take by faith, because our poor little old minds just cannot grasp the magnificence. Amen. That is the Godhead. Amen. So we have to take it by faith. You see, folks, God is infinite, and we are finite. To attempt a philosophical explanation of the one God who is three is an attempt to put the facts of the infinite into finite terms. And you can't do that. You just cannot do that. It's impossible to do that. We here at the Church of the Open Door firmly believe that there is one God eternally existing and manifesting himself to us in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. All right, so that's our church's position. I hope you see that. All right, how are we doing here? Oh, yeah, we're good. All right, next. I want us to look at the Godhead acting as one in unity. All right, you say, well, how are we going to do that? Well, remember that three is the number of completion. All right, completion. So notice, first of all, the Godhead in creation. All right, so let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And look at verse 1. All right, Genesis 1:1. All right, so here it is. Follow along. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, that's God the Father, God created the heavens, the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, so there's the third person of the Godhead, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. All right, now, first of all, let me refresh your memory. Last part of verse 5. And the evening and the morning were the first day. This is why, even to this day, the Jewish day begins at 6 p.m. in the evening, 6 p.m., all right? Our day starts at midnight, and we go to midnight. But the Jewish day starts at 6 p.m., and it goes through the night, the evening, and the morning were the first day. All right? And then at 6 o'clock, the next day starts. It's so weird. The first time I went to Israel, it was just so odd. And it took a little while to get adjusted to that. I mean, you notice it. Because every week they have Sabbath. And at 6 o'clock on Friday, everything shuts down. Everything. They just... And it's strange. It takes them getting used to. And they don't eat butter on the Sabbath. I know. So I would always load my pockets with butter in the morning. And butter underneath the table so no wouldn't offend anybody. Me and margarine just don't get along. It is just a couple of steps away from plastic. But butter is real. All right. I said that once and a lady left the church. No, I kid you not. I'm not kidding. I was encouraging you folks to eat wrong. Yep. I'm serious. Y'all looking at me like, what? Yeah. I tell you what, if y'all only knew. All right, so you see that? You've got God in verse 1. That's the Father. Then you've got God the Holy Spirit in verse 2. And then you've got God the Son, the Lord Jesus, in verse 3, 4, and 5. The light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. All right, so there's all three persons. There's all three persons of the Godhead represented. Now, go over to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. All right, now look at verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, notice this is capitalized. So in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Wow. So John just spells it out to us, doesn't he? And he says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him, Christ, was life. Watch this now. And the life was the light of men. All right, so the Lord Jesus, again, he's the light of the world. And so John tells us here that the Word, Jesus, is the creator. And also notice that the Word is God. Verse 3 tells us that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, folks, Jesus created the universe. Everything. You say, well, how did he do that? The word of his mouth. That's how he did it. He spoke the world into existence. Unbelievable. You say, well, I just can't grasp that. I know. That's why you got to take it by faith. And don't forget, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So there's some things you just have to take by faith. I mean, you weren't there. I wasn't there. John, you were close. You were close, weren't you? What? Wake up. Elbow him, Joyce. Wake him up. You were there? Okay.
Trying to Baptist.
So you know. So you know. None of us were there. Nobody knows. You say, well, how am I supposed to understand all this? You take it by faith. You see, you can read the Bible, and doesn't it make a whole lot more sense? Now, be honest. To believe that a omnipotent, omniscient God could create the universe, doesn't it make a whole lot more sense than some big explosion that happened 40 billion years ago? Not 39 billion. All right, and not 42, not even 41 and a half. No, 42. Were any of them there? Were any of these people who are so defiant about how many years the universe has been in existence, were anybody, any of those folks there? No. And as I've told you before, when you blow stuff up, it goes everywhere. It doesn't blow up and become a car. It does not blow up and then become an elephant. No, it blows up and it's chaos. And yet, you just look at this organized universe in which we live. Amazing, isn't it? Here's the way I like to think about it. I like to think of it as this. God is the designer. God is the architect, if you will. He designed it. Jesus is the creator of all. So God designed it, Jesus created it, and the Holy Spirit is the administrator. He brooded over the earth, over the waters. All right? That's the way I like to think of it. It says that the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. So all three persons of the Godhead had a role in creation. Notice the Godhead in our redemption. All right, what's John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So look here, God is the designer of our salvation. Jesus is the one who made the way. He executed our salvation, made it possible. And then the Holy Spirit administrates our salvation. No man cometh unto the Father unless the Spirit draw him, the Father draw him. And that Father is God, the Holy Spirit. Who is it that brings conviction? It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if I go away, I'm going to send back another comforter. And he will convince you of sin. That's the Holy Spirit convicting us. Notice the Godhead in our Lord's incarnation. Now, when I say incarnation, I mean the fact that God became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14. That's the incarnation, that God became a man. It was God the Father who gave his only begotten Son. It was God the Son, Luke 2:11, who was born into this world. And then thirdly, it was God the Holy Spirit who came upon Mary to cause conception, Luke 1:35. All right, so three is a really important number, isn't it? Yes, it is. I love all the many, many times in the Bible where we can see the attributes of God. I mean, his eternality, his omnipotence, his omnipresence, his omniscience, that he knows everything, his holiness, his immutability, he never changes, his truth, his benevolence, his communion. And the Bible informs us that these are attributes which are shared by all three persons of the Godhead. In other words, what the Bible says about God the Father in an attribute, the Son has that same attribute, and the Spirit has that same attribute. What God is, Jesus is. What Jesus is, the Spirit is. What Jesus is, God the Father is. They're of one essence. Three persons, one essence. All right, does that make sense to you? So let's not forget that we too are three in one. We are body, soul, and spirit. We are made in God's image. Three, yet one. Body, soul, and spirit. One night, years ago, one night down in Texas, in a sword conference, John Rice was preaching. And when he closed the service, he said, let's all stand and we'll be dismissed with prayer. And Dr. Rice bowed his head and he said, and now, sweet Holy Spirit, send us fresh breezes from heaven to help us see our need of getting thoroughly right with you. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. And after the service, as soon as it was over, some Pharisee came running to him to rebuke an elder. I don't know about you, but I would never have rebuked John Rice. I mean, you know, come on. And he said, Dr. Rice, he said, I think you made a mistake when you prayed a few minutes ago. And Dr. Rice said, oh yeah, how's that? He said, well, you prayed, dear, sweet Holy Spirit. He said, everybody knows that you're not supposed to pray to the Holy Spirit. You pray to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Dr. Rice just looked over his glasses at that man and said, dear kind sir, when you've been in the family as long as I have, you can talk to any one of the three you want to talk to. I mean, didn't even blink, you know? You can talk to any one of the three you want to talk to. He said, and I think that'll be just fine. And then turned and left. Pretty good, I think. That's pretty good wisdom right there. All right, let's bow for prayer. So this is our Godhead. This is what we believe. Three, yet one. Now, Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. And I pray you'll bless what's been said tonight. Help us to consider the importance of three, yet one. Help us to realize that this great doctrine is taught from the first chapter of the Bible all the way through. The Lord, our God, is one Lord. And so, Father, bless this to our hearts tonight. Help us to know what we believe, and then to know why we believe it, and then to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks a hope for the faith that is within us. So bless, we ask, in Christ's name, amen.